All right, guys. It's weird. I'm so used to hopping in right after the beginning that I actually like don't know what to say when it's a normal time. But I don't know how I do the I don't know how I do the start. Was it? Is it like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 203 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. See, there we go. There I go. I got it. I got it this time. I am so sorry, guys. I'm gonna mess up all over this episode. Unfortunately, or fortunately. I am celebrating a new job tonight, so I am very happy and also the teeniest bit drunk. So this is going to be an interesting episode. We're going to keep it kind of short for you guys. We're going to be breaking down the Gambit post-activity drop weapons. Really excited about that. Bottom dollar. Everyone's excited about it, especially now that the drop rates got buffed. And then we also have Trinary System, which is a fusion rifle. People are a little bit hit or miss on it. We'll talk about it later. But first, let's get the introduction out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined now by Kit Kutcher. How are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I am entirely sober. But that'll happen when you help do a lot of damage to a bottle of Irish whiskey. Sometimes you don't drink very much for a day or two after that. And I also don't have a great reason to celebrate, unlike you, who has a fantastic reason to celebrate. So congratulations again, by the way. But yeah, I have been actually super busy the last like 7 days for work, so I have not been playing a ton of Destiny, which has bummed me out a little bit. I have had Civilization 5 just left up on my side monitor. That's a game that I can play without paying attention to it. And unfortunately, if I turn away in the middle of a strike to take a phone call, I kind of get booted, and I also ruin someone else's experience. So Destiny's been tough to enjoy this week, but
I can say the same thing, honestly. It's been a super busy week for me. I've been bouncing back and forth between interviews and between a bunch of other stuff. Fortunately, got an offer earlier in the week, which I'm confident enough in that I put my 2 weeks in at my current job, which I don't know how many of you know this, but my current job is has sucked ass for a long time. I've not been particularly happy with it, so really just like a weight off my shoulders to get something new in a new industry. I'm really excited about that. Not Bungie, unfortunately. Because I actually thought about like posting something on Twitter, like, oh, I signed a contract with a new company, and then people being like, oh my God, are you working at Bungie? And I like can't handle the heartbreak of being like, no, I'm not working at Bungie, so I'm just getting out in front of that. Like, it's not Bungie, it is just a normal job, a normal company, stuff like that. But yeah, I actually this week has been super busy for me as well. I haven't played a ton of Destiny, but it is really great that Twitter voted to break down the Gambit weapons. Because if there's one thing I have played a lot of since the last time we did an episode, it is fucking Gambit. Because I made it my mission to get that challenge done within the week that it was released. So I fully maxed and reset a Gambit rank to get that challenge done.
Good Lord.
So I have played a ton of Gambit. And so now we're going to talk about the Gambit post-activity drops, which at least one of them is very good. But first,
At least
you know,
one.
yeah, at least one. Some I've heard people saying Trinary System is good. I don't know. I might have a bone to pick with that. But we actually, housekeeping wise, we're gonna do something a little bit different tonight because I don't think we have any new patrons, and I know we don't have any new podcast reviews since the last time we recorded. But interestingly, this week was a week for user feedback. We got two really interesting messages from users that I felt like we kind of should discuss on air because they're pretty topical as far as it goes in terms of like what we're doing with the podcast and things like that. So, you got any other things you want to talk about for the introduction? Are you ready to do housekeeping?
Well, so I think it's definitely time to get our housekeeping going and then gone. So massive thank yous, as ever, to ZenSoCal and Shazzle for their continued sponsorship of the podcast. Massive thank you to all of our ongoing patrons for your incredibly generous support. And thank you to all of you out there listening who are not patrons, who just enjoy hearing us in your ear holes. We really appreciate that because if y'all didn't listen, this would just be the two of us nerding out about guns, which would still be cool, but probably less cool. So thank you so much. Thank you to our Discordians for building an awesome community, with very little direction from us, and somehow just coming out like super positive and helpful. And I felt like maybe we set some examples in that regard, but like didn't I don't feel like we did a whole lot. And y'all are just awesome.
I think, not to toot our own horn here, but I think that we made a conscious decision, kind of early in the podcast existence, that we weren't going to try to pump this podcast to the mainstream, right? Like we both kind of acknowledged that there were things that we could do that would drive this podcast to a larger segment of the Destiny population than the segment that we were reaching right now. And I think we both kind of came to the conclusion that that wasn't really what we wanted to do. And having been on firing range and having been on DCP, like there are definitely benefits to having an audience that large, right? But I think part of what has happened is that because Massive Breakdowns is the way it is, it attracts a certain type of player, a certain type of person that enjoys a certain style of research, a certain style of, how does this thing work? How can I figure it out? What are the numbers? That type of thing. And I think the Discord reflects that, right? Like either the people in the Discord want to do that research themselves, or they're interested in learning that research, right? And I think that that's a small niche part of the Destiny community. And I think that it's a very, I could be wrong here, but I think that it's a very, welcoming. I think it's a very embracing, and everyone wants to help and wants to educate and wants to learn. And I think that's what the Discord kind of represents.
No, I definitely see that reflected in the Discord, in honestly in a lot of people who reply to us on social media in general, in our patron community, a lot of people who are very focused on, having a good time and enjoying Destiny for the game that it is, and just trying to, to make the most of the time that we have, to do this thing called Destiny, which is awesome. So thank you to all of you.
And a particular thank you to those of you who reach out and help in the Discord, or who provide us with feedback. So usually we would use this time to talk about patrons, or we use this time to talk about people who've left us reviews. What I'd like to use this time for is like I said, the two messages earlier. So we got one on Twitter and one on Discord, and it was people reaching out to us saying, "Hey, I think that you should do this for the podcast, right?" And usually, if it's one or two people, like we'll just reach back out to them and we'll just talk with them, right? But if it's something that we're getting like kind of a lot of, or if it's a segment that some people really like it's good to address it like kind of on air, because that just like clears it up for anybody else who is kind of thinking the same thing. So, do you want to start with what Resinosity sent us on Twitter?
That's a great place to start. So, shout out to Resinosity for two tweets, parts one and two. So, Resinosity writes, "Hey guys, just listen to episode 202 about the upcoming Stasis PvP sandbox. Wanted to say that I love the listener question segment at the end. Obviously, if the main episode content is too long, maybe leave them out, or if the questions are repeats. I think it gives people in the Discord channel or even patrons recognition. You guys could give the patron name, how long they've been a patron, as well as the question. Anyway, so many ideas. Keep up the awesome podcast." So thank you for that, Resinosity. This is actually, I think this was our first patron benefit.
Yeah, we
Was
have come like full circle
yes
to the
was
beginning of time.
like that was the first thing that we ever added on like Patreon, I'm pretty sure, as a reward, was that you could ask a question and we would specifically answer your question and call you out on the podcast. And it was something that we did do for a while, and then I think basically when the chat server started to become a thing, we started just sort of addressing a lot of those questions directly in the patrons' lounge, and we stopped really addressing them on the air. And episodes also have been statistically fairly long on average, tending over an hour, So adding questions onto the end of that could be a lot. So I think maybe for those kind of those two reasons, we sort of got away from it, but we've definitely got some positive response from it, and it may be a thing to try to make more of a focus going forward.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people said that they liked the listener questions at the end. I know DCP does listener questions. I know Firing Range does. We're a little bit different in that those podcasts try to, like, every podcast has like a length that it tries to hit, right? Like, the length that we try to hit is about an hour, right? If we go less than an hour, we know that that's a short episode. If we go over an hour, we know that's a long episode, right? So we try to hit an hour. So I can't promise you that we're going to do listener questions every episode, right? Because if we're breaking down, six weapons or a huge balance patch, like, probably not going to have time for listener questions at the end, just because of the fact of the matter that I'm still the one editing the episodes and I have limited amounts of time to do that, right? However, I will say I really, really like the idea of if we're doing an episode like tonight, where we're only going to be breaking down two guns. We're going to be doing just the gambit post game drops. And granted, they have a lot of perks each. So it's really like four guns in terms of the amount of perks that they have, right? But it's just two guns. We'll probably have time for questions at the end of this episode. I think where we shot ourselves in the foot was we provided all the patrons with their own special little lounge in the Discord, which is an awesome place, by the way. But they basically would ask us questions during the week, and instead of answering them on the podcast, we just like answered them right away in the patrons lounge, right? So I think what we're gonna have to do is we're gonna have to, and I did this tonight, I went into the podcast discussion Discord channel. I tagged at here and I said, does anyone have questions for tonight? Here's what we're talking about. It can be topical, it cannot be topical. And then I will take that list of questions, and I'm going to do that right before the episode, right? So there's no time for us to actually answer them in the Discord. And then what we can do is we can kind of prioritize patrons, and we can be like, okay, patrons get, first bat at a question to be answered, and then everyone else comes after. So I can kind of do something like that. I think that's maybe a good idea, but let me know if you think that that's a good idea or if you don't think that's a good idea. But that's how I'm going to try to do it for tonight. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
So, Resinosity, the moral of the story is yes, we are going to take your idea. A lot of people have said they like the listener questions. We are going to move forward with that. If we're going over an hour base episode, we probably won't do it. But any episode we're running short, we are going to do it. That's
Yeah.
the too long didn't read.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good summing up. Well, let's talk about the other thing.
Yeah. So I'm just going to shorten this to Joe. But basically, he said something that has been mentioned to us a lot over the duration of this podcast. That basically he said, "Look, your podcast is really great. I really enjoy it. It's very PvP focused. Is there any way you could focus more on PvE endgame?" And he called out specifically Grandmaster Nightfalls and the perspective that Bungie has said, like, look, we're going to be adding master and grandmaster difficulties to more activities moving forward. He said you could talk about, exotic armor, exotic weapons. You could talk about seasonal mods. You could talk about champions. You could talk about perks that maybe have kind of unintended effects, but are really super useful in in-game stuff. Like, there's a whole meta that's shaping up around Grandmaster Nightfalls right now. I know that fucking Pippin and the I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. I'm drunk, just leave me alone. But in the Discord has been posting videos of him speed running the Sepix Prime Nightfall, which is just freaking incredible how easily they dominate it, right? Like, it's really super impressive. And he basically was saying, like, hey, you guys talk about a lot of PvP. Like, there's a huge section of the player population that would love for you guys to talk about PvE, right? And I really appreciate you reaching out and sharing this thought with us. But what it basically comes down to, and Kutch and I talked about this before the episode to make sure that we were kind of on the same page, is like, the fact of the matter is we just don't play a lot of in-game PvE, right? Like, you would agree with that,
Yeah,
right? Good.
no, that's entirely true.
Yeah.
It's just not an area that we've committed time, that either of us has committed a lot of time into. And without putting in that time, essentially we would be, from my viewpoint, we would be parroting what someone else has said, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. but it's not something that I want to do on a regular basis. Because it's not, at that point, I'm not really speaking with any personal authority. And if something is wrong, I'm not going to know.
Right. And I'm 100% in agreement with that. Like, we do it every once in a while, right? Like, we'll say something, we'll be like, someone in our Discord tested this.
Right.
Or Fallout or Cool Guy or Drewski or, you know, posted a video saying this, right? And, like, I think that we do a good job of always trying to clarify, someone else said this and we were cognizant of that, and so now we're sharing it with you guys, right?
Yeah.
And but the wonderful thing about the breakdowns that we do is that the breakdowns that we do come from our actual gameplay experience, which is heavily PvP with a little bit of like normal standard PvE thrown in there for good measure, right? Like, we're able to speak with authority on that because it's what we do in the game.
Yeah.
And I don't want this, I don't want this podcast to become an hour of me repeating what another content creator said in a YouTube video or repeating a guide that I read on Reddit, right? Like, that's not what I want the podcast to be, because I want the podcast to be what I play, what Kutch plays, what we enjoy, what we like talking about. And is that what's best for the podcast? Potentially not, right? And, like, you know, we could reach a larger audience if we didn't do that. But at the same time, that's what I enjoy. I think that's what you enjoy too. And I would hope that the audience understands the limitations that we're placing on ourselves and is okay with, you know, the product that we're putting out.
Yeah. Yeah. To some extent, what it comes down to is, you know, we have to kind of be authentic to the parts of the game that we've put time into and that we enjoy continuing to put time into. And while branching out from that might be something that would perhaps could be commercially successful, I feel like it would also kind of be a step outside of what's the word I'm looking for here? It would just be a little bit inauthentic. And it would, you know, it'd be a lot easier to do if we were full-time content creators who were doing this for a living, right? You just have a lot more time. And then, you know, at some point you're like, well, I've played all the PvP. Now I want to do Grandmasters too. And you have a little bit more time. Not that, you know, not saying those people don't work hard, because that's a lot of time and effort and energy. I'm just saying when you have more time to focus on the game, you can do more parts of the game. And unfortunately, that's not where either of us is at in life. And so we sort of pick and choose. But I respect that there's room in the community for people who do spend a lot of time doing that stuff and know a lot about it. And I hope that we have helped to create a space where that kind of stuff can be shared. You know, it's stuff that we may get into at some point. I'm not going to say it won't happen.
Right. What I said in response was like, hey, if we start playing Grandmaster Nightfalls week in and week out, like, we would obviously then start talking about it, right?
Crossplay's coming. Like, who knows? Who knows what could happen? We'll actually play together for the first time at some point in the next 12 months, most likely.
And in the meantime, like, it's not easy to say, like, go out and make your own podcast, right? Like,
right.
That's very difficult to do. You have to have a lot of time and you have to have hardware to do it, right? But what I would encourage is that, like, the Discord that we have fostered here is very amenable to hearing stuff like that, right? Like, the Discord that we have fostered here, like, please come into this Discord and share your strategies for in-game PvE. Because if there's one thing this Discord can do, it is help you put that into the type of format where it could be an article on Planet Destiny, or it could be something you post on Reddit, or it could be something you share, or it could just be something you share with this community. This community is pretty large as far as it goes, right? And they're extraordinarily active. So there's a high probability that if you're posting some good strategies, you're going to get some good feedback on it, right?
Yeah.
So I don't want this to seem at all like, I think that this was a poor suggestion. I know that we're talking about this a lot. Like, we're
right.
deep. This is much longer than we normally spend on housekeeping, right? But the fact of the matter is, it is a good suggestion. if we wanted to grow the podcast, if we wanted to expand to an audience, we would do that type of thing, right? But the fact of the matter is Kutch and I both feel that it's not who we are as players, and that for us to speak about that on a podcast would be inauthentic to who we are as players, because it's not stuff that we do. We'd basically be telling you stuff that we listened to or heard from other players. We wouldn't actually be speaking with our own experience, and that's not really what we want the podcast to be. We want the podcast to be reflective of our own experiences. And that's why I always try to qualify anytime I'm saying sandbox suggestions or anything like that. Like, I hope you guys notice that I'm like always trying to qualify with, well, this is my experience. You know, I'm a majority 6v6 player, very casual PvE. You know, like that's where we try to come from. And so I hope that I don't alienate. I hope that we don't alienate any PvE players, because we absolutely love you guys and we super respect, like, the stuff that some people are doing in Grandmaster Nightfalls is incredibly challenging.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that we don't alienate any of you guys, but it's just like, that's not the type of players that we are. And unless we become those type of players, I don't foresee the podcast shifting in that direction.
Yep. Yep. I think that we're on the same page, and I think we've probably communicated it pretty clearly at this point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 20 minutes into the episode and we haven't even talked about a weapon yet. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's great. Area of opportunity in terms of, like, there are a lot of people who love that stuff and who know a lot about it, so I hope that we see more talk about it. It's stuff that I would love to be able to get into at some point. You know, it's aspirational for me right now. It's not a real goal, but I do love watching it, like you said. Well,
all right. Time to talk about some guns.
The only other housekeeping is that, unfortunately, we have not been accepted into the Discord partner program at this time.
Oh, no.
I know.
Even with 1,000 members in our Discord, we haven't been accepted?
They didn't give a specific reason.
Bastards.
I know. Probably because we criticized them on this on this very episode. They knew we were going to criticize them. No, it's whatever.
All right. Let's talk Gambit post game drop weapons.
Let's do it.
There's two of them. I know everyone wants to talk about bottom dollar, so we're gonna save that one for last. So you guys have to listen through this.
Savage.
We're gonna talk about Trinary System first. So Trinary System is an adaptive fusion rifle, not a super common class of fusion rifle. The adaptives have a charge time of on a 30 tick system. The charge time is about 0.67 seconds. The actual charge time is 660 milliseconds, but we all know that Bungie's system functions on a 30 tick rate, so it cannot actually be 660 milliseconds. The closest to that is 0.67 seconds. So, I mean, it's an interesting fusion rifle. I've heard tales of people that think they can do some monkey business and make it a pretty darn good fusion rifle, but here's the meat of the matter. It does 38 damage per bolt, takes 6 bolts to kill by default. The actual TTK on it, if you take into account that it fires 1 bolt every frame after it fully charges, is 0.87 seconds. For comparison, the TTK on high impact fusions is 1.00 seconds. On precision fusions, it's 0.90 seconds. Now, the Trinary System itself, as far as fusion rifles go, statistically, is there. I would say it's probably the best of the adaptives that you can get, but the adaptives do have some drawbacks. Number one, the range is relatively low for fusion rifles. It's fine for adaptives at 45, but it's low for fusion rifles. For example, precisions like the Epicurean and the Main Ingredient are up at 63. Glacioclasm is at 67, right? And we know that the buff that fusion rifles just got is based on the amount of range stat that they have.
Right.
So they don't benefit a ton from that. The stability is pretty good. The stability is 49, but you know what's better? A precision. Main Ingredient is 54. Reload speed is fine. That's 45. That's not big for a fusion. Handling is good, 42. Inventory is decent at 40. The aim assist is kind of on the lower side at 54. Most high impacts, even Glacioclasm is 55. Most high impacts are higher. Most precisions are higher too. Main ingredient is 59, the Epicurean is 65. And then the recoil direction is not particularly good. The recoil direction is 55, whereas something like main ingredient would be 73, glaciocasm would be 78. So, statistically, there's nothing that jumps out at me as being something I really, really like, other than the fact that the reload speed, the handling is good. But the bolts to kill is bad. The stability is pretty okay, but I can easily surpass that with a precision or high impact, which is going to be better, right? I mean, is there anything that just jumps off the page at you as to say that this is a great gun?
To be honest, just looking at the stat setup, I would not give this what a second thought. To me, this just looks like just another adaptive fusion rifle that Bungie has put in the game but doesn't know how to balance, and thus has left too weak to cause any serious trouble. Anyone who's good enough with fusion rifles and at the game in general could take this gun and have some success, right? But is this a gun I would recommend that anyone use? Probably not. Just looking at the stats, right? Totally ignoring perks at this point. And then even just ignoring what the perks are, looking at the size of the perk pools, also would say almost not even worth chasing. Because without good stats, a gun that has how many perks again? Like 50? A lot.
Yeah, I mean the problem is quite simply that it's got a dozen perks in each of the last two trait slots, which means it's gonna be very hard. So here's the thing, right? I reset my gambit. You know how many trinary systems I got?
I'm gonna bet two.
It was two. Good
Yes!
bet.
Oh, nailed it.
Good bet. I got two, right? One of them was an entirely useless roll,
We did
so I
not talk
shattered
about
it.
this beforehand, by the way. That was legit just psychic power on my part.
And the other one was pretty close to the god roll that people are talking about. So what I've been hearing is use trinary system, put high impact reserves on it, because in the you can get the magazine really high. You can get the magazine up to eight, and what that means is high impact reserves will be active for the last four, which means you'll always have it active in PvP, right? And on the last two, it can actually five bolt, right? Which means it's gonna bring, it's basically gonna function the same way that like a precision does, but just with two frames of faster charge time, right? What I say to that is it's gonna function the way you're basically trading two frames of a faster charge time for less range, which is really, really super important right now on fusions because that's what the buff was based off of. And less stability, and worse recoil direction, and worse aim assist, right? Like in the grand scheme of things, with a 30, 30 tick rate, I'm going to take more range, more stability, better recoil direction, better aim assist over potentially two frames shaved off the charge. The reason being, as a longtime fusion player, the charge rate is less meaningful to me than the distance and ease with which I can kill someone. I'm saying this. There are times as a fusion player where it's like, damn, I wish I would have charged faster, right? Most of the time, I need to have charged a lot faster than just two frames of difference, right? Most of the time, I'm pre-charging. As a successful fusion player, you live and you die by the pre-charge. And the pre-charge negates a lot of that frame difference once you learn the timing. And then it becomes how far away can you kill someone? How tight can you constrain those bolts? How much aim assist are you getting to pull the bolts into towards the target? Right? So as a fusion player, and I may play things differently than other fusion players do, I believe there's an argument to be made that precision fusions are pretty darn good because of how statistically solid they are across the board. I think you'd be hard pressed to make that argument for an adaptive, specifically because I have a trinary system with high impact reserves. I've used Glacioclasm. I have probably 1500 kills on Glacioclasm or Glacioclasm this season, and that's with me barely using it at all, right? And I put Trinary System on and was immediately like, ooh, like this is not nearly as consistent.
Well, so the part of the problem is in order to get that mag size, right? So then you have to have enhanced battery, push the magazine up, and then you have to use backup mag to push the magazine up. So you're giving up the option to have a counterbalance stock mod on there. You're giving up, say, particle repeater or projection fuse or liquid coils even. I guess you could have ionized battery. Right, to push the mag up to 8, but then you're tanking your reload speed, which maybe you're not counting on. But fusions don't reload very quickly, so that seems like it hurts a lot. I don't know. It seems like you're asking a lot. You need some specific perks out of a massive perk pool. And then you're getting just like a less good version of a precision fusion rifle.
Yeah, basically what you end up with is you sacrifice a barrel perk, you sacrifice a mod slot, you probably end up sacrificing one trait slot. I guess you could potentially go with liquid coils, but then at the same point it's like, but now you're only a single frame off, or you're like, or you're, it's just like, oh man, like,
Yeah.
you know, are you really willing to sacrifice a barrel perk and a battery perk and potentially one trait perk to get one frame of faster charge rate than a precision, which is going to have a free barrel perk for you to use, a free battery perk for you to use, a free trait perk for you to use, better stability, better range, better recoil direction, better aim assist. Right? Like I understand what people are trying to do for this, and I sometimes feel like people get too caught up in some of these numbers and they don't look at the whole picture. But like I have a trinary system with high impact reserves. I can promise you it is not as good as a Glacioclasm or a well-rolled precision that you have.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something out there, and we're gonna go over all the perks. Maybe there's something out there that I'm not seeing. But the fact of the matter is that I will take any one of my seven Glacioclasms over this thing any day, hands down. And I have never once run into a player at any skill level that I felt posed a challenge to me using Trinary System. So.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of work for what is ultimately a weapon that is still subpar. And I respect that because that's something that sometimes is fun if you can find a way to take a weapon that is subpar, or even a character build that maybe is subpar and use it in a way that's a bit novel and that works for you. I love that and I respect it. I just don't think this is the hill to die on. I don't see this gun being good. Even like just like on a traditional fusion, like not even trying to screw with the damage numbers, just looking at what it would be like if you had like what is a traditionally good like PvP fusion rifle roll. So you had tap the trigger and under pressure, both in the available perk slots, maybe projection fuse, and you've got chambered compensator to help with the recoil and the stability. You throw on counterbalance stock, you end up with like an 80 recoil direction, which is pretty good. 54 range, 67 stability. You've only slightly hurt your handling, which wasn't great to begin with. And at that point, you have stats that are still just not quite competitive with a precision fusion rifle that has decent perks. And it's just like, why am I gonna try? Like it's barely faster. It takes an extra bolt to kill, unless I really lean into it, at which point I have terrible stats. It just seems like so much work to make it make it happen. Where this gun if would be somewhat useful, I think, maybe, would be if you wanted a fusion rifle that still did enough damage to be somewhat useful against adds in PvE, but also had more bolts in the mag than a precision or a high impact is generally going to have.
Yeah, I will say it definitely is more useful in PvE. The role I have with ionized battery, it is super nice having eight in the mag. I will say that this is potentially an underutilized weapon for PvE. Eight in the mag on a special weapon with something like a fusion that does as much damage as it does, and it's solar, right, is actually really, really super nice.
Yeah.
The problem I always have with fusions in PvE is that there's so much dead space during the charge time that they really have to do an abnormally high amount of damage per burst. And if they don't, then they're almost never useful, right? And you can get them to do high damage, but in for the most part, they just don't do enough comparatively. Like they kind of just need like a PvE buff across the board, right? Like Fusion should really be able to do a lot more damage to yellow bars and a lot more damage to bosses because anytime you've got charge rate, right, like that might as well be a rocket launcher reload.
Yeah.
But in difference from a rocket launcher reload is that it takes 7 frames for every single bolt to fire. And so it's like not only are you waiting while you're charging, but you're also waiting while you're firing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bolts, right? So it's like, they don't have travel time anymore, which is a good thing, but they're still kind of struggling.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because they're one of those weapons that's really unique to Destiny. And unfortunately, I feel like they really struggle to balance them successfully. Like fusion rifles are generally either really strong or really not strong. And there's it's few and far between that find that middle ground. Unfortunately, I think this one falls short, but it does have some perks that make it a viable special weapon option outside the Crucible. And if you just insist on taking it into the Crucible, I think you could end up with, say, a quick draw backup plan roll on this gun, which would make it a great panic weapon for closer encounters. A great way to burn down a shotgun ape.
Yeah. Here's the problem with this gun, right? Like you are so limited. It has these fat perk pools, right? And you are so limited in what you can do. Number one, you have to have a recoil direction perk in the barrel. You
Yeah.
cannot get away without it. So that means you need to have arrowhead break, or you need to have extended barrel, or you need to have chambered compensator. Those are your only three options. And the fact of the matter is extended barrel and chambered compensator don't do that much. They only put you up to 65, which is still pretty terrible. Right, so you really need arrowhead break. That eliminates all of those different barrel perks, right? And basically says you have to have arrowhead break. Secondary, in the next perk slot, you kind of are in a bind, right? Because if you don't have high impact reserves in the last perk slot, you pretty much have to have liquid coils. Because if you don't have liquid coils and it actually takes 6 bolts to kill in PvP, this thing is beyond useless, right? Beyond useless. If you do have high impact reserves, then you pretty much have to have enhanced battery or ionized battery, right? Like those are really your only two options because at that point you're just trying to bump the battery up. So really it's like, what do you have in your battery slot? Well, what do you have in your last trait slot? Is it high impact reserves? No, it's not high impact reserves. Congratulations, you need liquid coils, right? Oh, you don't have liquid coils? Congratulations, this is shit for PvP. Immediately shard it. Or more realistically, you say, okay, well, do I want to use this in PvE? Like, do I really want to subject myself to this? I guess I will. Okay, then I'm going for a battery perk anyways, right?
Like here's if I was gonna take this gun into to PvP, here's probably what I would be looking for. Arrowhead break, liquid coils, quick draw, backup plan. And it would just be my panic button. You've got backup plan to counteract the issues with liquid coils. And then you get the extra damage. You've got quick draw, so you can have it out instantly. So you can ignore the fact that the handling is, despite it would be at 50, With those perks, it's that's still terrible. Fusion rifle's just not going to come out fast. Quick draw makes it a little easier. And with Arrowhead Break, it's at least going to shoot straight up and down, so if somebody's charging me, I can whip it out and I don't have to think about aiming. That's the only way I would use this gun. And I still feel like I could have the same thing on a better fusion rifle and kill them from further away. Anyway.
I mean, at that point, though, it's like, why not just go with Cartesian coordinate, right? Which, if you're going to do a backup plan, like Cartesian coordinate at least is like, well, I mean, because they're both going to take 6 bolts to kill at that point in time,
Yeah.
Like, at least Cartesian coordinate's going to charge super fast by default and has a scope that can add a little bit of zoom to it. I mean, it's just. I would love for somebody to reach back out and be like, "No, this is why I think you're wrong because I don't see it." And I'm looking at all the perks here. In the first trait slot, you've got a bunch of perks, right? In terms of actually good perks, yes, you have firmly planted. Yes, you have quick draw. You've got under pressure. You've got both of the slide perks. You've got slide shot and slide ways. Feeding frenzy, killing wind, auto-loading holster. You don't want because if you have high impact reserves, that screws you. Grave robber, you don't want. Hipfire grip, you don't want. Surplus. Hit or miss. I've actually found surplus like super fucks me up on fusion rifles. Like really screws me up on fusion rifles. On controller, not on mouse and keyboard. On controller, I'm so used to providing a certain down pressure when I fire that when surplus triggers and the stability is higher, I end up shoving the fusion rifle into the ground because I'm expecting more climb than there is and I apply more pressure and I shove it straight into the ground. Surplus, I can't even phase on fusion rifles. Ambitious assassin, ambitious assassin would be great for PvE. Like, if you really want to do a PvE build with this gun, like, knock out a fucking PvE build with this gun. Barrel perk doesn't really matter. Go ionized battery, go ambitious assassin, like, build this freaking thing out for PvE and get yourself like 10 or, 11 rounds in the magazine and like go ham. Because that could be fun here, right?
Yeah.
In the second trait slot, you've got Swashbuckler, which is okay. One for all, terrible for PvP. Wellspring, not tremendously great. Multi-kill clip, useless for PvP. Thresh, useless for PvP. Unrelenting, useless for PvP. Tap the trigger, pretty good. Disruption break, okay. It exists for PvP. I wouldn't say it's necessarily useful. If you basically miss your burst with this fusion rifle, you're going to die. So you're not really going to have time to switch weapons. Demolitionist, not great for PvP. Kill clip, not great for PvP. Backup plan, at that point, you might as well use Cartesian coordinates. And then high impact reserves, which you pretty much have to have if you want to use this in PvP. So, my problem with this gun is that you are so limited to such a small number of perks and a huge perk pool that I feel like I got a good roll, right? Like, my roll that I actually have is I think extended barrel, ionized battery, slide shot, and high impact reserves, right? Like, that's
Wow, yeah.
pretty damn good. As far as you can go, I still took it into PvP and was just like, oh no. It's just now, granted, I'd like to take it into PvE, but unfortunately, I've got slide shot and high impact reserves, which isn't really what I want for PvE. So it's like, How much do you really want to grind out a trinary system?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only good news it has going for it is that if you're gonna take it into PvE, there's actually a pretty fair selection of perks that you could use. And you would not be as constrained. If you just, basically, I feel like if you just got ionized battery, you'd be hard pressed to get a bad roll because there are so many perks that odds are good you're going to get something that is functional. You'll pick up Killing Wind and Demolitionist or something. It's like, well, that's playable. Or you'll get maybe you'll get Feeding Frenzy and one of the kill clips because it has both, right? That's pretty playable right there. Maybe you'll get Ambitious Assassin and Unrelenting. All right, great for ad clear, right? You can just go wipe out scores of thralls, get all the ammo and heal instantly. So there's a million possible combos there that could work out and be useful, but I don't know. Everything everything about this gun just feels like it takes way too much effort for what it is.
So you want to see how much effort this takes? Let me give you this comparison, right? So I've got a main ingredient up here, and I've got a trinary system, right? So my main ingredient has tap the trigger, firmly planted, particle repeater. The range is 71, the stability is 63, the handling is 44, the aim assistance is 59, the zoom is 1.7, and the recoil direction is 73, right? Charge time 7. Or 0.73 seconds, right? So 733 milliseconds. So two frames slower than a trinary system. The trinary system has 54 range compared to 71. And this is a trinary system with extended barrel, ionized battery, high impact reserves, and slideshot. So this is my roll, right? Which is a pretty darn good roll. The stability is 49 compared to 63 on the main ingredient. The handling is 32 compared to 44 on the main ingredient. The aim assist is 54 compared to 59 on the main ingredient. The zoom is 1.5 compared to 1.7 on the main ingredient. The recoil direction is 65 compared to 73 on the main ingredient. And the damage is as high or 1 point higher for a 2 frames faster charge rate. So I am giving up range, I'm giving up stability, I'm giving up handling, I'm giving up recoil direction, I'm giving up aim assist, and I'm giving up zoom for 2 frames and a conditional damage buff of potentially 1 point. 1 point. That's what I'm giving up. Like, do you guys see why I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it.
And main ingredient has less perks in each trait slot, so you're more likely to get a good roll.
Yeah, I don't understand why they make weapons like this and then they put 12 perks into the trait slots. It's just like, what am I supposed to do with this? If I'm not getting these like candy, I will never get a decent roll. Like, and a gun like this needs like curated perk selections so that it actually can be okay. It's just, if you get lucky, you get something that you like, more power to you. But this is just not one that I think we can recommend in good faith.
Again, except for PvE, where you can get a fat magazine size,
Yeah.
and you can get, eight. If you get Ambitious Assassin, you can get even higher than that. You can get potentially like 10 in the magazine for a fusion rifle, in which case, yeah, go nuts.
Even then, still probably not going to recommend it for that in-game PvE content. Just want to say.
Well, you've got snipers and shotguns with reconstruction and recombination and stuff, which can double their magazine size and do,
Yeah.
way more damage way faster. So, no. But, we've somehow wasted 20 minutes talking about trinary system when I know that all people really care about is bottom dollar.
Yeah.
Bottom dollar, energy, hand cannon, 120 RPMs, 1.00 second TTK with 2 crits and 1 body. Body shot time to kill of 1.5 seconds with 4 body shots, which is actually how a lot of people are using it, has the wonderful joy of being able to 2 crit with pretty much any damage buff. Rampage, multi-kill clip, charge with light, anything is going to make you 2 crit, which is 0.5 seconds. Does do 91 to the head, 50 to the body. The range of the bottom dollar is, it's what you would expect from a 120 hand cannon, 64. That basically gives you, an effective range of 40 meters in PvP, which is pretty fantastic. Maybe a little bit more than that. Stability is not great at 35, but nobody really cares about stability on 120s. Same thing with the reload speed, pretty terrible at 32. I mean, this is the way high impacts work, right? Like the range is great, stability sucks, reload speed sucks, handling sucks. Aim assist, I say sucks because it's bad for a hand cannon at 66. So fine overall. The recoil direction is 85. That's more than good enough for you. The mag size is 8. This is probably one of the most sought after guns in Destiny right now.
Yeah, everybody chasing bottom dollars. I have not seen one to date. I'm not actually sure they're real.
I got
But.
two, and both rolls were actual shit. Like unbelievably garbage rolls, and I was just like, this is fantastic.
Well, the good news, right, is that it has a lot of perks. So your odds of getting a good roll are actually. Shit. But there are a lot of phenomenal rolls. Like, how many times do you get a gun like this and you can get both rangefinder and opening shot on it?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what the
that's what's
shit?
real scary. Yeah. That's what's real scary.
That's
It
like
is like
45 meters of range.
yeah. Or more if you
Or
start
more.
stacking like accurized rounds and stuff like that. So,
Yeah.
I'll be honest, controller player, 120 player, I found that the range stat perks are okay. I've actually found stability perks to be pretty useful on the 120s. The 120s have horrendous kick, and a lot of people say, well, the reloads or the rate of fire is so slow that they kind of reset themselves before the next time you fire. I find that to be partially true, but I actually found that I really, really like stability on these 120s. The base range is so high that as long as I'm not cutting it down or I have a perk like rangefinder and opening shot, I'm pretty much good. Like I won't even look at a range perk as being a necessity. No, I won't turn my nose up if I get accurized rounds. I'll absolutely take that and I'll be very happy with it. Same with something like Killing Wind, right? But at the same time, like I'm okay looking for flared magwell. I'm okay looking for tactical mag. I wouldn't even say no to steady rounds. Steady rounds is pretty great, right? Especially if you have something like small bore
Hammer
like
forged.
hammer forged, right? In the
Yeah.
first barrel slot. So in the first barrel slot, what that does is it opens up a lot of options for you, right? Like chambered compensator is pretty good. Corkscrew rifling is fantastic. Even extended barrel, right? Like, some people are gonna say, no, I don't want the handling, or I don't want the handling hit that you take with extended barrel or chambered compensator. It's -9, and the handling is already pretty shit to begin with, so it hurts a little bit. But a lot of that can be rectified with the fact that you can get quick draw in one of the trait slots, or if you have a special weapon that has quick draw, or if you have a special weapon that has high handling speed, that negates about 50% of the penalty, right? Because what handling is it's draw speed. It's also stow speed. So if your stow speed isn't great, but your weapon that you're swapping to's draw speed is pretty good, then that kind of negates some of the penalty of, of a slow change. So, I like any of those. Fluted barrel's not bad. Full bore, I'm probably not gonna take. I don't really think you need +14 range and -9 stability on this thing. Hammer forged rifling is good, polygonal rifling is good, small bore is good. Like there's honestly only really like two barrels I'm gonna stay away from, and it's full bore and arrowhead break.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. It's tough to get a bad barrel perk on this gun, which is nice because you need one slot that you can ignore. And honestly, it's pretty hard to be too mad about any of the magazine slots. Obviously, I'm not going to be upset about accurized rounds. Appended mag, I could live with two extra shots on this gun. It wouldn't be my first choice, but at the same time, if I have good perks in the trait slots, I'm okay with it. Tactical mag, same thing, right? An extra shot, a little extra reload speed, a little extra stability. There's nothing wrong with that. Extended mag is probably something I would not be super happy about. I think that maybe is the one that I would be pretty upset about if it was a really good roll. Otherwise, I mean, I'd put up with it, but the reload on these guns is so slow that,
Well, are you a hunter? Because if you're a hunter, you just dodge and
well,
you don't ever reload. But
yeah.
now I do agree with you. Extended mag, I would not be happy with. An alloy mag is the other one that I'd be like, oh, really? Because at least it doesn't hurt you, but it's just like, oh, really?
That's always great until, like, there's that one time when you need to reload, but you dodged and you had your special weapon out.
I mean, honestly, I'm a big fan of like, flared magwell, because it's like, oh, I'll take a little bit of stability and some faster reload speed too,
Yeah.
and
I think flared magwell is a great choice here. I think accurized rounds is also a great choice, and tactical mag is maybe number three for me.
In the last slot, there's some good options as well. Obviously, Rangefinder G is just Rangefinder's really hard to pass up, even on a 120 with how much range they already have. DMT outranges 120s pretty substantially with the same TTK and the same 2-crit 1-body, right? So, I don't think that people on console have discovered it. I've heard tales that it's pretty terrifying on PC in the right hands, on mouse and keyboard in the right hands. But Rangefinder might help you out there. I mean, Outlaw, fantastic. Totally negates the damage penalty or the reload penalties that you may have. Slideshot, also fantastic. Not only does it part, I think it puts one or two shots back in the magazine, but it also boosts the range and stability.
Yeah.
But it's Slideshot's pretty great. Quick draw is fantastic. Rapid hit, geez, rapid hit's great, man. Like I'd actually probably take, rapid hit over Outlaw just because you get two crits and a kill, and then you get a pretty substantial buff to stability and a pretty quick buff to reload speed. Subsistence is okay. It's better on this gun because there's only 8 rounds in the mag by default, or 9 rounds in the mag by default, so it helps. But there's just so many other good perks in the slot that I would still be a little bit disappointed if I found myself with a subsistence roll. Despite how useful it may be, I wouldn't be happy. Hipfire grip is useless. Feeding frenzy is pretty good, but there are better reload perks.
Yeah.
Pulse monitor, you don't really need. Fourth times the charm, you don't really need. Surplus is pretty good. It's again, and I've said this a million times, for me as a hunter, it's less good because I almost never have in this current meta, I almost never have full of more than one ability at a time. Like I'm pretty much using two of my abilities constantly.
Yeah. It's still surplus is still a perk where I'd be like, okay, so what's the rest of the gun look like? Because I'm not mad about it. It's probably giving me something all the time. It's probably not giving me its full potential, or maybe even not a lot all the time, because like you, I'm definitely putting my abilities to work as much as possible. But they do have some uptime, and if I know I'm running surplus, they might end up with a little bit more uptime to take advantage of that. So it's a potentially very strong perk, depending on
Yeah.
your playstyle.
And Killing Wind is great because of the plus mobility, plus weapon range, plus handling, right? It's fantastic. I mean, personally for me, I'm gonna be really hard pressed to not go with Rangefinder just because like I always judge perks based off how often is it active
Yeah.
and how often is it helping me, right? And Rangefinder is helping you in every engagement. Now, people, you could argue like, oh, well, it's not helping me in engagements where the target is 20 meters away, right? And it's like that's correct, right? That's correct. But with a 120, part of what you should be doing is you should be pressing that range advantage that you have almost every other primary in the game. That's playing to 120 strength. And yes, you can engage from closer up, right? And yes, potentially if you engage from closer up, something like rapid hit. Maybe better if you're trying to chain, but just in terms of how solid it is and how easy to use and how great of a perk it is, I think Rangefinder is still just tier one for me.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that would be my first choice here. I'd be even happier if I can pair it with like Fluted Barrel in that first slot for a handling buff to help with my ADS speed. Because that's always, how fast you can zoom in on the target does make a difference. And so you have to be quick. But regardless, just the as small of a buff as Rangefinder gives, just that little tiny little extra 10% zoom. Zoom is one of those things we periodically we talk about. It's exponentially powerful. It affects, your visual flinch. It affects so many things about the gun. It affects the actual recoil of the weapon, which on a gun that kicks this hard makes a big difference. That's 10% less recoil when you're zoomed in. So it's very meaningful in a lot of ways. And then it also just gives you that extra aim assist distance, that extra damage drop-off distance, like there's just nothing that it there's almost nothing that it doesn't do. So it's really hard to argue with. That said, quick draw is also really hard to pass up. You know, if I get opening shot and quick draw, sold, man. Like, that's a gun that is every time it's out, it's on target, and I can put it away when I don't need it. Because that is one of the weaknesses, right, of this archetype is that they just don't handle well. You're not getting them out and putting them away unless you have some other buff that's helping you. I think those would be, for me, probably my two top choices in terms of the perks that I think I would get the most benefit out of in that trade slot is Quick Draw and Range Finder. And probably Range Finder would be my preference because it's going to help me get the kill, and I'm just going to have to be smarter about when I take it out and when I put it away.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then the thankfully the second trade slot's a little bit easier. There's a bunch of perks in there that just aren't really particularly great for PvP. And then there's some perks in there that are fantastic. In terms of PvP perks, opening shot, tremendously strong, really strong perk, especially great for a dueling 1v1 gun. Explosive payload is very good if you're really trying to push that range, like to just the absolute extremes, because obviously half your bullet has no damage drop off, the explosion has no damage drop off, so you can really just push that range out.
An explosive payload also because of the explosion causes some pretty annoying visual flinch for the other person.
It's not as bad as it was in D1. In D1, it actually blinded your opponent. Like for a period of time, there were several frames where you were actually blinded. In D2, it doesn't do that anymore, but it does randomize flinch. So your flinch bounces all over the place. Eye of the
It's
Storm.
super annoying in D1.
It's still super annoying in D2, honestly. Like it's pretty annoying, right? Like flinch is already an annoying mechanic. Like it's really difficult to fight against flinch because it happens so quick that there's almost nothing you can do to prevent it. So I personally think flinch is the most annoying mechanic in FPS games, but Eye of the Storm is also great. Eye of the Storm is a fantastic dueling perk. Remember that there's two. There's one when your shields break, and then one when you slip into like critical health, basically, right? When you're real low. Rampage is great because it allows you to two tap anyone. Multi-kill clip is great because you can two tap anyone. High impact reserves allows you to two tap, I think, low resilience, but only at the tail end of the magazine. So that's probably like my lowest tier of like, oh, I'm still kind of okay with this perk, right? Like, personally for me, I like Rampage a lot for 6v6. Some people prefer multi-kill clip because you have more power over when it activates. Like you actually have a longer duration of time. It forces you to reload first, but what a reload does is it allows you to drop back behind cover, your health can start to recover, and then you can pop back out and you do a little bit more damage. Whereas Rampage, you basically have to chain 1 to 1.
Bright side though is that if you do get a rampage roll, don't forget about rampage spec, right? That gives you an extra second and a half of time to get that next kill, which, you know, in Destiny can be a significant amount of extra time. So don't just want to call that to mind. It's not a mod that gets, I think, as much use or as much attention maybe as many of the other mods, but
Absolutely. That's a really good point, actually. Yeah, the Rampage mod, I always forget about that one. But yeah, so pretty much with any primary, you have to make the determination, like, what is it that I'm trying to do here? Am I trying to duel? Am I trying to win my 1v1s? If you're a comp player, if you're a trials player, a lot of times it is what it is. Or is it, am I trying to chain kills? Am I trying to stack multiples? And if so, Rampage, multi-kill clip. If not, opening shot, Eye of the Storm, potentially explosive rounds are the way to go. If you get multi-kill clip, potentially rapid hit is a better option for you than range finder, right? Because if you're getting multi-kill clip, you're probably not trying to gain a couple extra meters advantage here and there. You're probably just trying to like, let me get a kill and then let me move on to the next one, right? As always, I will caution you, don't do multi-kill clip in subsistence, right? Like we don't want that. That doesn't help anything. Multi-kill clip can even kind of fuck with slideshot and stuff because you are reloading yourself by sliding a lot. So just be cognizant, determine what it is that you're trying to do. My personal role, if I was like, I want this gun to be the ultimate dueling weapon, I'd be going fluted barrel, flared magwell, rangefinder, opening shot. We'd be like my ultimate dueler. If I was going with like I want a 6v6 gun, I would probably do rapid hit multi-kill clip. I like Rampage a lot, but I don't really want to have to put a Rampage spec on it if I can help it. I'd prefer an Icarus spec.
Right.
Really. So, I'd probably want to help my reload, make my reload as fast as possible so that I can basically get a kill, duck behind cover, and, pop back out with a supercharged bottom dollar and just two tap a fool, basically.
No, I think that's, for sixes, that's probably the direction to go, right? One of the kill clips. What is it just multi on this gun? It is just multi on this gun. For some reason, I thought that I saw the other one for a second, and I was going
It'd
crazy.
be overkill at that point, right? Like you don't even need it. You just need the barest damage boost, so.
But yeah, I think for sixes that's the way. But then if you are, like you said, if you're trying to win 1v1s, doesn't get better than perfect accuracy and maximum range, and reasonably decent handling. So that's bottom dollar. Much easier to break down than Trinary because it's actually pretty darn good on its own. I also want to say I think this is a strong choice for PvE as well because it does so much damage and because it has so many great perk options for keeping the magazine full and getting damage buffs from various triggers. I feel like this is a super, super versatile gun. It's unfortunately it's a little bit too versatile because actually getting two traits that combo well together is statistically a bit harder than I would like. It's why I really prefer when they curate the perk lists a little better than this. I wish they would have given us two hand cannons with two different perk lists, so I could pick which one to farm. But it is what it is. And there's a ton of great options in there. There's how many damage perks do we have here? A lot, right? Multi-kill clip, high impact reserves,
There's two main
rampage.
ones, and yeah, and one minor one in high, so
And then
it's pretty great.
in PvE, I count explosive payload as a damage boosting perk because it's going to be great for killing groups. Dragonfly, same thing. It's great for wiping groups of adds. Even Demolitionist is incredible in PvE. And it gives you instant reloads. So it solves that problem for you. So there's so much potential for almost any role to find a role in your arsenal. Bottom dollar is just straight good.
Absolutely. Okay, so what we're gonna do is technically we've gone over our limit in terms of time. I said that we weren't gonna do listener questions if we went over an hour because I like to try to keep it around an hour. However, that being said, I already asked for listener questions from the podcast discussion channel on the
We
Discord,
went too long.
and we got some really good ones. And it's our own fault for talking so much in the beginning, right? So we're gonna go ahead and do the listener questions. We're gonna start by prioritizing the patrons. As we do, Fusion Catalyst said, if there is a 120 nerf, what should it be to make them still competitive? And if you can, what can you do to make 180s more competitive? Or would they be already if 120s weren't so good? So we're going to try to go through this fast. I am going to say the super unpopular thing, and I would not nerf 120s at all. I would bring back bigger maps, give pulse rifles and scout rifles lanes to shine on. Because they can outrange 120s, but the maps are so tiny now, you don't ever get to see them outrange 120s, right? And secondarily, I would buff, and I've said this a million times, I actually don't think 120s are overpowered. I think they are in a good spot. I think every other primary is underpowered, and that's part of the reason why we're seeing so much stasis spam right now, too. So my personal thing would be buff the other primaries, bring back bigger maps. That's how I would nerf 120s. What can you do to make 180s more competitive? You need to do two things. You can either make them two crit, two body everyone, or you dump their aim assist in the toilet and you make them three crit. Bring back the Luna's Howl type shit at 0.67. That would make them hyper competitive, but you have to dump the aim assist. If you don't dump the aim assist, they're going to be OP. The only way you can make them that is if they're, you have to actually hit your crits, and that would make them good.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add there. I think you covered what I would have given as an answer.
That actually covered about three, that actually covered about three questions. We had three different questions that were talking about 120 hand cannons being nerfed. I'm just going to go down the list then, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
He so says, what would you like the theme in the next season to be? Cabal, Hive, Fallen, etc. I'm going to go with Plague Gang on Twitter and say I want it to be SIVA themed. I think that would be a ton of fun. I don't think it actually will be. I think there's a very good chance that it is either Cabal or Hive based on the Witch Queen and the current season that we're in right now.
So SIVA would be super awesome. I'm probably most invested in the story of the Fallen in Destiny right now. We've been doing all this work on Europa to help these Fallen and send them off to the Kell of Light. I want to know what's up with that. What's going on? I want to fight alongside some Fallen against some other Fallen. I feel like there's so much that could happen there.
You know what I just thought? It's probably gonna be Vex because they're bringing back Vault of Glass. So
It
it kind of
probably is
just
going to
makes
be Vex.
sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely will be.
Anyways, Lone Crusader says you're allowed to bring back one sunset weapon. What do you choose? Erentyll, 100%, unless we can bring something back from D1, in which case it is Chaos Dogma.
I don't have a quick answer for this. I'd have to go through my arsenal.
Okay. We'll come back to it later. Aconyte, and I'm probably pronouncing his names wrong, so just let me know if I pronounce your name wrong. But it says Aconyte says, how would you handle the slow as a mechanic relative to the quite honestly incredibly powerful state it's currently in? Beyond the simple, just make people walk slow. honestly, I think slow wouldn't be as bad as it is if it weren't for the accuracy debuff that it provides. And for, like that is honestly the most frustrating thing to me about slow. Is the accuracy debuff and the uneven way in which it affects abilities. Some abilities can get you out of it, some abilities can't. Some abilities work at some levels of slow, some abilities don't. I would like a unified version and I would entirely remove the accuracy debuff that it provides because I think that's way unnecessary.
Okay, that's fair. For the sunset thing, I just want to unsunset my masterworked armor that I had to delete and then also undelete it. That's honestly what I care about the most at this point.
Well, I don't know if even Bungie can bring that back for you, but
I don't think they can.
Pewter City Gym Leader says, what changes would you like to see to fusion rifles that aren't high impacts to bring their viability up in game? The only thing that you can do to bring their viability up is make them not require 6 bolts to kill. You can get away with 5 bolts to kill. You need to bring the, what I would do is I would bring the adaptives up to be base 5 bolts to kill. I would bring the precisions up to be much closer to the high impacts in terms of damage. And then I would keep the rapid fires at 6 bolts to kill, but I would drop their charge rate so they charge much, much faster and they're much closer to shotguns.
What do you think about just like putting some actual aim assist on those faster firing ones?
Maybe, but my whole thing is that like I wish this game just had less aim assist across the board. Like I hate how much bullet magnetism and aim assist this game has in general, right? Like if it were up to me, I would take a hatchet to the aim assist of every weapon across the board and just like cut it straight down. So what happened to Arbalest? I would do that to every gun.
All right. Fair enough.
Aconyte said, nope, that's another 120 question. We already answered that. Reality verbally says, would you rather light-based subclasses get buffed up to their current state or reworked into the stasis style, assuming the same time frame, just the two systems? I would rather they get reworked into the stasis style, even
Yeah.
staying as weak as they are now, because I think that this style is way more fun. However, I do not believe that that is at all likely, because as you and I have talked about on this show before, trying to make like whispers and aspects and fragments for the light subclasses is going to be a hugely time-consuming process and probably very difficult and probably going to require getting rid of some of the stuff that is in the light subclasses right now, and I don't know that people are going to be stoked about that, so.
Yeah, I would totally concur. I would much prefer that all of the subclasses were in the stasis style.
I think we all would.
Just flat
It's the
out.
best, subclass system we've had ever in Destiny. It's one of the few things that is much, much better in D2 than it was in D1.
Yeah, no question. It's far superior.
And then it says, Scott33, do you think with these playlist weapons being introduced each season that they should continue to have the large number of third and fourth column perks, or should they reduce them for any future additions? I think that as long as you only have a single post-game drop, you can have a large number of column perks. Or if you buff the drop rate to where like every 3 or 4 games you're guaranteed a drop, you can have this large pool of perks. If you're going to keep it to where you go through an entire reset of Gambit and you get less than a drop per rank, you should not, or you, and you have multiple guns too on top of that, you should not keep this ridiculous large perk pool.
Personally, I'm gonna say just flat out, regardless of what the drop rates are or anything else, I think those perk pools are too big, and just make the chase not interesting to me, because it's so like if I get it randomly playing, great, but it's just not something I'm interested in grinding because the odds are so stacked against me because of the
Yeah.
massive number of perks.
I'm actually, this is the game developer hat coming on, and I'm not a game developer, right? But I understand what they're trying to do, right? Like they're trying to give you a reason to grind a playlist. I think drop rates should be increased. I actually like having these big perk pools because I feel like it allows you to increase the drop rate without a worry of having people too quickly be done with the playlist, right? I would actually prefer a higher drop rate and a larger perk pool than I would the other way around. A smaller perk pool and a lower drop rate, right? Because what I like to see is like every 3 or 4 games, I like to get a drop, a legendary drop, right? And if it doesn't have all the perks I want, if there's a big perk pool, at least maybe I get like 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 4 and I've got something usable. Whereas even if you have a lower perk pool and the drop is 1 out of every 15 games or something, like you still might get a shit roll, and then it really sucks, you know? So I think the lesser of two evils is I still want people to play, so big purple, but I don't want to like punish the shit out of people, so pretty decent drop rate, and that's like the best of both worlds.
I still feel like even with a great drop rate, there are just too many perks. Like I'm not saying they need to be that it needs to be like three or something. Like that would be too few, obviously. But I'm saying like six, maybe eight. Even just
24.
even
Let's double
ten.
the amount.
Even
Let's put
10 would be even
every perk in
better.
every pool.
Yeah,
What I
there
want
you
to see
go.
is, well, I what I actually want to see is I want to see a mod system for guns, is what I
Yeah.
actually want to see. We've talked about that before. But
Yeah, just
barring
make
that,
all perks mods.
yeah. But you know what I'd also like to see is, so like this happened in D1, is like in D1 it got to the point where when you ranked up, you could choose a weapon or armor, right? So it was like the beginning of the Umbral system where you could like focus. What I would like to see, we talked about this last week, I would like to see the focusing system brought to each core activity so that you could focus each core activity and really like target your farming. Because if you could do something like that, I don't think it matters if you have a big ass perk pool, right?
Yeah,
Like
I would agree.
I think that's the best way to do it because it provides a chase, it provides something to go after, but at the same time, you can improve your odds if you work hard enough and you can get there and you can actually earn your guns. So that is it, guys. That is it for episode 203 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Kitcatcher, do you have anything else to add before we sign off?
All I've got is the sign off. Peace, guys.
Damn, hour and 20 minutes. We'll see you next week. Bye.